This is Ozarks at Large. Last year, several communities had very public discussions about the role Confederate monuments, or monuments raised decades after the end of the Civil War with Confederate overtones, should play in those cities. Bentonville, which has a statue of a Confederate soldier in the middle of the town square, was one of those cities. Last year, Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek filed a couple of stories about the history of that monument, and we heard from residents both wanting to remove it and keep it. Those conversations in Bentonville have become less public in 2018, and the statue is still very much there. Another southern city, New Orleans, went through such an episode in 2017, and in the end, iconic statues were removed. The mayor of the city, Mitch Landrieu, had very vocal allies and equally loud opponents for his commitment to take the statues down. He's written a new book, In the Shadow of Statues, A White Southerner Confronts History, about those statues and their removal. But the book is also about growing up as the son of a progressive elected official in the Deep South. He says because he was in a high-profile political family in New Orleans, he heard about race beginning at an early age.
Really from the time that I was in utero.
Yeah.
I write about how when my mother had, we had four babies at home, and I was the fifth, and nine of us, by the way. My father was in the legislature and voted against a package of segregation bills put forward by the then Governor Jimmy Davis, and that his life was threatened, you know, that night in his political career. And so really from the beginning of the time that I was even a whisper in my mother's eye, we've been involved in this battle.
One of the anecdotes that's early in the book is when you were, I think, in what we would now call middle school, an adolescent, and a woman who disagrees with your father's policies and approaches calls you a horrible name, says horrible things to you. Do you think that even though that was a horrible incident, that helped shape you as you develop?
No question about it. You know, it's really strong when you're 13 years old. You're not really thinking about politics. You know, whatever your mom and dad are doing when you're in school, you're not really paying attention to. So I knew my father was in elected office, but I wasn't really that focused on it. So when this woman showed up at my high school and basically said she was there to kill me, it was a pretty startling moment. When you know, she confronted me, I remember actually feeling sorry for her and almost looking at her like, wow, she's not really in control of herself. And that was the first time that I, you know, was really able to personally see that level of hatred and bigotry. And of course, you know, that played itself out over a long time in my life. And now as I sit here at 57 years old, you know, I notice that there are still people today that think like that. It gave me a lot of insight that, you know, maybe other people wouldn't have gotten until later in their life, if at all.
You write that we can't go under or around or above racism. We have to confront it head on.
Well, I think that's true because, and of course we know this, for those of us that live in the South, race is a very uncomfortable topic. And we haven't gotten very good at talking about it because we're still litigating, you know, historical issues. Other countries have done a better job of confronting things that have been done in those countries where people today don't feel at fault for what happened back then. Germany's done a particularly good job at confronting the issue of the Holocaust and has really kind of walked through it, not just danced by it. You know, we danced by it, especially in the South. We had a civil war, we had the civil rights movement, that happened and we're done. And that's just not the way it works. And so we're still, unfortunately, litigating. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, not as a judgment, but really to give people a sense that it's okay. I mean, some of us were taught the wrong way. Some of us learned the wrong thing. Now that we know more, you know, we have to reach out to each other because I happen to think that diversity is a strength. It's not a weakness. New Orleans itself, our beloved city, is a great example to the rest of the country about what it looks like when a diverse group of people get together and really create music and create food and create new ways of doing business. And, you know, even in our city, when we had these vestiges of the Confederacy here, those things sat there for too long. And now it's important that we recognize that. We take those monuments and we take them out of places of reverence. We'll keep them in places of remembrance because we don't ever want to repeat it. But we don't revere them and hearken back to when it was great back then for some people but awful for others. That's not a good pathway forward for us.
I'm talking with Mayor Mitch Landrieu about his book, In the Shadow of Statues. I love the title because it can be both taken literally, you were mentioning the Confederate monuments, as well as figuratively, growing up around your father and other role models. You mention when Wynton Marsalis asked, If there's one thing I'd like you to do, I'd like you to take these statues down. You said in your head you were thinking of all the reasons you couldn't, politically.
Absolutely. That was my first. Well, I'm a politician, so, you know, my brain, we were in the middle of rebuilding this city after Katrina, and I had a lot of hard things to do. We were, as a city, rebuilding our airport, rebuilding our sewer and water system, rebuilding our riverfront, rebuilding our schools, rebuilding our health clinics. And, you know, my immediate reaction was, man, that is a big old fight, and I'm going to try to find a way not to have a fight. And he said to me, you know, as only a friend could, he asked me a question. He didn't demand. He said, would you think about that? And can you look at those statues from my perspective? And do you know who put them up or how they got put up or why they were there? And quite frankly, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I walk by them all the time and wasn't as sensitive as I should have been. But when you read the history of them and who put them up and why they were put up, which was basically not to honor Robert E. Lee, but to revere the Confederacy and to send a message to African-Americans, 60% of whom own the city of New Orleans now, you can understand why Wenton Marcellus and Louis Armstrong and 5 million other people left the South, because they didn't feel included. And who lost? Did the people who lose left, or the people who were left behind lose? And I would argue pretty strongly, you know, to white people and African-Americans and Hispanics, that we lost because we lost all that human capital. You know, how many lawyers and doctors and scientists and poets and architects and chefs left the South? And, you know, you understand this, being from where you are, that some of this has to ring true for you.
Part of this is empathy, right? You mentioned that you would walk by the statues and you just took them for granted. They had always been there. But then when you find out how other people are reacting to them.
I think that one of the things that, you know, we always say is, you know, can you walk a mile in another man's shoes? And when you do, you see things differently. If you ride your car, you know, someplace every day, try riding your bike or walking, you'll see it from a different perspective. And so when someone who is your friend, who you love, says, that is painful to me, and you say, well, it didn't occur to me. You say, well, great. Well, now that I told you that it's painful to me, can you put yourself in my shoes? And when you begin to see it from that perspective, or as I write in the book, the perspective of a 12-year-old African-American girl who we now want to be the president of the United States or an astronaut, when she walks by that monument and she looks at it, do you think that monument makes her feel more or less? You think it makes her feel welcome? You think it inspires her or it scares her? It was put up to demean her. It was put up to tell her that she was less than. It was put up to tell her that she was not worthy. That's not who we are. That's not who we say we are. And so now our public spaces ought to reflect what's in our soul and what's in our heart. And that's one of the reasons why we thought that that particular space, which is one of the seminal places in the city, ought to be used to reflect unity and, you know, a welcoming sense, not an exclusive sense.
What was it like for you cataloging your memories, your history, into one place over the course of time? What was the process like for you?
You know, that it was generally very strange because we're so busy. You know, my wife and I have 5 kids, and I'm working and she's working, and you don't generally sit and reflect and remember. And so it was really a wonderful experience to go back and actually have to stop and think and write about it, because when you do, you know, it brings back a lot of really important memories. So the process of writing, which I found hard, was just very new to me, but I thought pretty cathartic and pretty helpful. And fortunately, you have a chance to edit and to think about what you're writing. You don't generally do that when you're talking, you know.
Right.
But I thought it was pretty helpful.
New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu's new book is In the Shadow of Statues: A White Southerner Confronts History. We talked with him last week.